follow the sun patterns every single day, faithful. Although we, sometimes in Western New York, Grandma Hartman, don't get a chance to see the sun all the time, I know it's there. And the moon and the night and every cycle of day and night just reminds us of just who God is. And through that, God says, I am praised, I am glorified simply by the heavens. When we look out into the sky and you maybe get maybe you've gone up to the mountains or got away from the city a little bit, and you look up into that dark night sky on a clear summer night, and you just look at all those stars and you go, wow. God says, I get glory from that. The heavens declare the glory of God. Luke chapter number 2. You're not allowed to go to Luke chapter 2. It's not December. Oh, we're going to Luke 2. Luke chapter number 2. Praise goes on in the heavens. Luke chapter number 2 and verse 13. And suddenly there was, let's look at verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God. Hey, I appreciate our choir. Man, that was good this morning. I'm no better. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. What is grace? God's gift. Gift of God, salvation. I love singing about that. I love hearing about that. I love thinking about that. And here, I love our choir, but can you imagine when this announcement got made? All of a sudden, the heavens peeled back for a second, and the multitude of the heavenly host, praise God. And saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Right now, before the throne of God, is his name being exalted and praised and worshiped. The heavens declare praise to God. Happened when Christ showed up. Revelation chapter number 19. Revelation 19, verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. What is our setting? Heaven. Saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Verse 3, and they said, Alleluia. Verse 4, Alleluia. Verse 5, a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God. Man, sounds like worship's going on in heaven. There's praise going on in heaven. Wouldn't you like to hear what that sounds like? Wouldn't you like to see that just for a minute? Man, I so would. That's going on right now. That's happening as we speak. Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah the great prophet. What if the heavens were rolled up like a scroll and you could see back for it. Just see it for a second. Man, how would that impact you? Isaiah chapter number 6, we have a man that saw it. In verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Imagine seeing God on his throne. Above it stood the seraphims. These are angelic beings. Listen to the description. Each one had six wings. And with twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And the Bible says this in verse 4. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Amazing, right? What's going on up in heaven? Well, there's one seraphim standing across another seraphim, and God sitting on his throne in between these two. And one looks at the other and looks at the throne of God, and he says, holy, holy, holy. And the other responds, holy, holy, holy. And back and forth they go, just praising our Father day in, day out. And a man got a chance to see that for a second. He says, I better write that down. Well, I bet someone's going to want to hear about that. And he was so moved by that. He said, woe is me. I am undone. He says, I'll do whatever you want me to do. That was his response to seeing just God praised for a moment. Hey, right now, as we just read in Psalm 148, praise is happening in the heavens. Look at there, Psalm 103. So many great verses about this. Psalm 103. In verse 20, it says this, bless the Lord, ye his angels. Say, is that me? No. Angels are different than people. Say, when I die, do I become an angel? No. Separate beings, all right? Do I have guardian angels? That's a different question. Mr. Parrott, you can help us with that. All right. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Many angels are simply messengers. And it says this, bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. All of a sudden, it seems like there's a transfer here of thought. Hey, if there's praise going on in heaven, there ought to be praise going on earth. If the praises of God, as those beings look at the Lord and see him in his glory and his in eternity and in his omnipotence, his power, his strength, and it's all they can say, holy, hey, something like that ought to be happening here. If it's happening there, it ought to be happening here. And Deuteronomy chapter number 4, turn with me there. Deuteronomy chapter number 4, part of the law. What happens when something steals God's praise? Does he like that? No. Not at all. In Deuteronomy chapter number 4, in verse 19, it says, unless thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven. Hey, what's the purpose of the sun, the moon, and the stars? Well, certainly to control our tides, to produce heat and energy and life and all of those things. And the heavens declare the glory of God. Hey, he says this, even all the host of heaven shouldest be driven to worship them. Hey, we don't worship the sun. We don't worship the stars. We don't worship the moon. He says, don't do that. Those are there to worship me. You are here to worship me. That's what he says. He warns them. He says, don't worship those things and don't serve them. Look at verse 20. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, and swear that I should not go over Jordan, and that I should not go in unto the good land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. But I must die in this land, Moses is speaking. I must not go over Jordan, but ye shall go over and possess that land. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord, your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything that which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. Hey, do you think the one seraphim looking at the other seraphim, looking at the throne of God in Isaiah chapter 6, says, you know what? Let's make something instead of him and worship that. Absolutely not. That would never happen. But why does he have to tell his children, his people that believe him and follow him on this earth, hey, don't worship anything else? And God says this about himself. In verse 24, and the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Say, isn't jealousy a sin? It's not when you deserve it. God says, I want all of your worship. Hey, I've created beings in the heavens to worship me, and there you are worshiping those things. No, you worship me. And if you don't, I get jealous, he says. And he's allowed to be jealous because he deserves the worship. I'd be jealous if Abby treated somebody else like her father, right? Hey, I'm your dad. How about when you go after other gods? Well, something's better than the God of heaven. I'm more important than God says, I don't share. I get all the worship. hey, there was praise going on in heavens, and if it was happening in the heavens, it ought to be happening here. Go back to Psalm 148. There were praise in the heavens. Verse number 4. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. You know, there ought to be a place where God is worshipped. This ought to be one of those places. Imagine coming into the church house and God's name not be exalted. That'd be sad. Imagine if we came in and out of this place week after week and God's name would not be lifted up. God's name would not be pleased. God's name would not be praised. Those things ought not so to be. In 1 Kings chapter number 8, he designed a building, the temple. And he says, that place, I want it to be used for me. It's a pretty simple principle. There ought to be a place that we gather together as believers to praise Him. Look at Nehemiah chapter number 9. Nehemiah. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. Nehemiah chapter number 9. Look at verse 6. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made the heaven and the heaven of heavens. Seems similar to the verse we just read. And with all the host, the earth, and the things are therein, the seas, and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all. And the host of heaven worship thee. Hey, all of this stuff he made, you know what he wants? He wants our worship. He wants our praise. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 10 again. Deuteronomy chapter number 10. Look at verse 14. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also, with all that therein is. Which is going to lead us to in a couple thoughts. This is all for Him. But He wants to capture our praise. Praise was happening in the heavens. He wants praise to happen here on earth. We were created in Psalm 148, verse 5. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. Why did He create you and I? Hey, why are you here? Like, here? No, like, on earth here. What is your purpose? Certainly we can ask, what is your plan? But what is your purpose? Your purpose prompts a plan. With no purpose, you have no plan. In my garage, I have some tools. And those tools were designed with a purpose. So when I have a plan to use them, a weed whacker or a chainsaw or something like that, they become part of the plan. See, God created you with a purpose, to praise Him. And when that's our purpose, that executes our plan. So on Sunday mornings, hey, what do? Well, my purpose is to praise the Lord. So probably on Sundays, I should probably go worship Him. And then on Monday, you know what I should do? I should praise Him. And Tuesday and Wednesday. Praise isn't just reserved for Monday or Sunday. It's for every day, Grandma Hartman. Every day. Our lips, our life ought to praise Him every day. That's why we're created. Revelation 4:11. That's why you're made. To praise Him. You were designed for praise. You were designed to worship Him. Say, I don't have a good voice. Everything in your body. We looked at this verse yesterday at a prayer meeting. In John chapter 7, the Bible says, He created us thirsty, and He is the water. Let every man that thirsts come unto me and drink, He says. Hey, let everyone that has a desire to worship. Do you understand? Innately, we have a desire to worship. God says, I am the receiver of your worship. That's why they were created. Psalm 33. Ever get wowed by something? Maybe it's some great feat. Maybe you're watching a sports or something like that, and someone makes an exceptional play, and you're like, wow! Or someone, you know, as a student, you pass a test you didn't think, and wow! Does God ever wow you? Psalm 33, look at verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Hey, you want to help? You want to get some help? Turn those devices off and just think about God and his creation for a few minutes. Turn off the TV, turn off the phones, turn off the computers, and just walk through the woods a little bit. Just watch how orderly it all is and how God made it. And lift up a little leaf and look at the little society underneath there of all the little animals. And then put it back gently. Don't squish them. All right? They're there for a purpose. So you look at them. And then you walk and you watch. Ever walk through the woods and all of a sudden there's a deer standing right there? Bud, remember when we were camping? And there we were. We were walking and it was from like here to Brother Sutliff, just standing there. Boom. We're like, it was standing right in our path. And then we looked to the left and there was one right here. And we're just like, don't move. So cool. Ever just take that all in? Our society's like this, though. They're not taking it in. They're missing it. They're missing it. This past week or last week, there was this lunar eclipse or something like that. And at 6 o'clock in the morning or 5:45 in the morning, the moon turned red. Amazing. Did you see it, Brother Parrott? Yeah. Got up. I set my alarm. Some of you are at work already. I don't do that. That's fine. Set my alarm. Got up. Looked out the window. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Then went back to bed. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He just spoke those things. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depths of the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. See, I have a hard time worshiping. I bet there's a problem with that verse then. I bet you don't fear the Lord. I bet you don't stand in awe of him. Hey, be careful that you not take the throne that God was placed on. I'm most important. No. We were created to not be praised, but to praise. That's what it said in Psalm 148. Go back there, Psalm 148, verse 6. Verse 6. He hath established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. God makes covenants that don't break. He makes treaties that he doesn't go back on. He makes promises and decrees that he cannot violate. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Ever get frustrated with your kids? Ever, Brother Rice, ever get frustrated? I mean, not Opal, but I'm sure maybe somebody else. And you're like, all right, everything I just said, it's null and void. We're no longer doing any of that. Imagine the Lord. All right, that's it. No more eternal life for anybody. That's it. I don't want to spend eternity with you. You repulse me. You make me sick. I despise you. No, he doesn't do that, does he? He's holy, and yet even in our unholy, he's like, I died on the cross. I paid for your sins. I love you so much. And you're like, yeah, I'm not sure I'm in on that. All right, that's it. I'm out. I'm done. I tried. Gabriel, I tried. No, that's not what he does he? No, he establishes a covenant. Look at Jeremiah 31. We're just going to look at a couple verses about this. Jeremiah 31. I love these verses in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31:35. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night. If your kids are whining that they need a nightlight, just open up the drapes. All right, there it is. He says, the ordinance of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves are of roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. He says, if those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. He says, if the sun stops rising and the moon stops mooning, whatever it is, he says, then I'll stop being their God. But those things aren't going away. Isn't that great that God makes covenants like that? Then he can keep his word like that. Ever make a promise and can't keep it? Things happen, things change, right, Brother Garrett? Sometimes that happens. You had every intention, but it just, you forgot, or it fell through the cracks or something. I've scheduled meetings with people and just totally forgot. I've been scheduled with people and they just totally forgot. Does God ever do that? No. Psalm 119. God makes covenants, he doesn't break. Psalm 119. Kind of like the government. Makes government contracts that they don't break. So similar. Psalm 119, verse 90. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth. Psalm 119, verse 90. Established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. So why did the sun rise today? Because God told it to. And it will continue day after day. He's made a promise. Psalm 93, last verse about this thought. Psalm 93. Psalm 93, look at verse 1. The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. Wherefore he hath girded himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. Better stop, we're going to destroy our world. God says, no, you're not. That's not for you to do. It can't be moved. Oh, you'll make it maybe miserable to live here, but you can't ruin it. God has established that. He has made a contract with man. And praise the Lord. And because of that, praise ye the Lord. Psalm 148, go back there. Verses 7 through 10. Is that encouraging to hear? 7 through 10? All right. We'll look at a few more verses here. 7 through 10, praise the Lord from the earth. Look at this. Ye dragons and all deeps. So your dragon's real. If you'd like to some information about dragons, go to Isaiah 41. You can read that separate study. We're not doing that here today. Now, okay. Psalm 148, as we continue. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and the hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Why do the geese travel back and forth? Because God told them to. Why does the wind blow like how it does? Why do we have snow? Why do we have hail? Because God told it to. Creation naturally praises the Lord. Look at Matthew chapter number 8. Look at this. Just a reminder to you who our God is. Matthew chapter number 8 and verse 24. Hey church, praise ye the Lord. Look at all these things. Praise him in the heavens. He captures our praise. We are created to praise him. He has established a contract of praise. Here, creation is praising him. In Matthew chapter number 8 and verse 24, it says this. In verse 23, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Years ago, we were talking about this just the other day at our house. We were up at the up at the lake there. Was it your birthday, Abby? I think it was. And I'm looking at the forecast, and I'm like, hey, it's saying that a bad storm is coming in about 5 minutes. And they're like, it's nice out. You're crazy. I'm like, I'm not crazy. It's going to be bad here. And I'm packing things up. I'm like throwing things away, cleaning things up, taking things to the car. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I knew. It wasn't like, hey, I got a feeling in my right knee. Like, it was on its way. Like, you know, the purple on the on the forecast. Like, bad stuff is going. Wind is whipping. Kids are crying. Sand in their eyes. We lost a kid. I think it was just bad. And it would have been amazing saying, no, we're having Abby's birthday party. You go elsewhere. Who can do that? Who does that? Jesus awakes. Yeah. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. See, a great tempest needed a great calm. Do you see that? And then he sits down like nothing. And then the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? He's just sitting there, like nothing. And they're all like, I cannot believe what we just saw. It wasn't like coincidence. It was, he commanded them to stop. Why? What did that do? It just proved his power. Look at Amos chapter number 4. Say, Amos, oh boy. Joel, Amos. If you're not there, I'm just going to read it. Amos 4:13. For lo, he hath formed the mountains and created the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. That's who did that. Say, why is there a mountain here? Because God told it to be there. Why is it windy? Because the wind said, or God said, move this way. And the darkness and the light and the high places and the low places, God designed it all to prove his power. But go to Jonah. You're not far from Jonah. Just a few pages to your right. Remember Jonah? God told Jonah, I want you to go preach in Nineveh. And he says, which way is Nineveh? He says, that way. And he says, great. And he goes to Tarshish, the opposite way. He's like, I'm running away from God. God's not going to find me. I'm going to go get in this boat, and I'm going to go away because I don't want to go to Nineveh. And God said, oh, you can't hide from me. He says, Jonah says, I'm going to Tarshish. I'm going to go from the presence of the Lord. He said it with his own mouth. How can you be God at hide and seek? The eyes of the Lord are in every place. But the Lord, look at verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. You know what he did? And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Hey, God has power over that. He can stand up in the midst of a sea, a great tempest, and just say, hey, that's enough. Calm down. And it calms down. Ever tell your kids to calm down? They're running around. Ever tell JP, hey, settle down. Right? I mean, that sometimes those words don't even work with people. And the wind's blowing and the rain is whipping through, and God says, enough. And it just calms right down. And then he goes to kick it up. Why? He's trying to get Jonah's attention. Did he? Oh, yeah. Not only did he whip up a quick storm, he sent a giant fish. They toss him over. Why? Just to remind us that God's in control of all that. Creation to praise him. It proves his power. It gets our attention. And it reminds us who's in charge. You think you're in charge? Go try and control nature. Brother Sutliff, what's going on out there? Is it snowing? Flurries. That doesn't count. Okay. Brother Primer, see what you can do about stopping that, right? Hey, you think you're something? Go try and stop that. Well, I can stop it. I'll just go to San Diego. But it'll be still be snowing here. Nature obeys the Lord. How do you think you're any different? Psalm 50. Psalm 50 in verse 10. And then we have one more point, all right? Psalm 50 and verse 10. Our poor Sunday school teachers. Psalm 50, verse 10. And every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. Hey, this is all His. And so are you. And so are you. So does He get your praise? If I was created to praise Him, am I doing what I've been designed to do? We've all used the tool in the shop wrong, right? We tried to turn a screwdriver into a hammer before. Or maybe a flathead or a butter knife into a screwdriver. That's not what it was designed for. Maybe you hurt yourself, cut your hand, do dumb things. Why? Because you're using a tool not how it was designed. Are you being used how you were designed to praise Him? The wind, the trees, the snow, all answer to God. How about you? As we go back to Psalm 148, it reminds us whether we are a great person or little, we all answer to the Lord. Psalm 148 and verse 11, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, great and small, let them praise the name of the Lord. Kings, he says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the heaven, or the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto Him. Praise ye the Lord. In Psalm 86 and verse 9, all nations whom Thou hast made shall come and worship before Thee, O Lord, and shall glorify Thy name. For Thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. In Psalm 8 verse 1, it says, O Lord our God, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. Psalm 113 verse 4, the Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. There's no man higher than the Lord. And each are invited to praise Him. Our last verse, Philippians chapter number 2. Does God get your praise? Philippians chapter number 2 and verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him. Who? Christ. And given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every king, every maiden, every child should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hey, those that have been most obstinate towards the things of God, one day will bow a knee before Him. Will they be forced to? Brother Runyon, I don't think so. I think when they see God in His majesty and in His power, whom? You just hit the ground. But then, for some, it will be too late. The time to call upon Him to save you and to forgive you and to make Him your God and make Him your Savior and make Him your Lord is today. Amen. Do it now. Oh, yeah, one day you'll bow before Him, but then it will be too late. Amen. Then it will be too late. You know what God desires? Our praise. I love that. Whether you're a king or a maiden, what is a servant, a child, young, old, it does not matter. Nathaniel, God is inviting you to praise Him. And the kings of this world, he's inviting to praise him. So again, we ask the question, from you does he get praise? Praise ye the Lord. A command to us here today. Let's all stand. Tonight we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper. What is that? He said, do that in remembrance of me. We're going to be thinking about those things and what he went through on the cross. But right now I ask, does your life praise the Lord? You were designed not to be praised, but to praise. And if all of this is about him, does he have you? Have you taken a step of faith? Have you trusted what, do you understand believing the Bible takes faith? I've never seen it. I didn't get what Isaiah got. I didn't get to see the throne. I'm taking his word for it. It takes faith to believe this book. But he's proven himself over and over and over again. Hey, no one has ever cared for me like Jesus. No one. Oh, we've all experienced love, but nothing like what God did. To leave a place where you are worshipped day after day, and to come to this earth to be despised and to be crucified and to pay for the sins of all mankind. Why? Because he loved you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you put your faith and trust in Christ? Does your life now praise him? Say, I'm wondering, what is it that God wants me to do with my life? I'm 70, or I'm 7, or anything in between. It's the same thing. He wants your praise. Today, would you make a decision? I choose to praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. I'm gonna figure out what that means. In my life, I'm going to try and make a move for the Lord towards God, towards Christ. I'm going to take him at his word. I want to praise him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your creation. And God, our desire here today is to praise you. Lord, we were created for that. The greatest amount of joy is experienced when we do what you tell us to do. God, I pray you'd help us. Help us to get over ourselves. Help us to get over our pride and humble ourselves. Lord, it's all about you. It's not about me. It's not about us. God, help us to live humbly, to walk humbly, to praise you. Lord, we need your help. God, I pray you do a mighty work in our hearts. Lord, thank you for assembling us together here today. And God, we look forward to the service tonight as we celebrate your atonement for our sins. Lord, I pray that as we go home now, that you watch over us, protect us, keep us safe on the roads. But God, as we, within our hearts, desire to praise you, Lord, help us. Help us with those things. Lord, we love you and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a good afternoon. Don't forget.